Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Job Logs, a podcast that features candid conversations with young professionals about work, life, and everything in between.
Hey everyone, welcome to Job Logs. I'm Courtney.
I'm Joy Marie.
And this is your, what is it? You're like your professional girlfriends
in the
office.
Yeah, we're like your girlfriends. You know, we're the girls you go to happy hour with or,
I like that.
You know, do breakfast with before a particularly challenging work day. You can consider us your career confidants.
I put a stamp on it. I love it. So we have a great show lined up for you today. We're talking about money. Money, y'all. And we're joined in the studio, well, we will be, by our friend Brandon Williams. And we're going to talk about everything from like investing to budgeting. It's going to be great, great time. We also have some listener questions.
Yeah.
And more.
Yeah. All stuff that like really makes my head hurt that I don't understand at all. So really looking forward to it.
And we've got big news.
Huge,
Joy.
Major news. So we are signed to Acast.
Whoop, whoop.
Okay, so Acast, for those of you who don't know, is a Swedish podcasting company. So we're joining the likes of BuzzFeed's Another Round, Call Your Girlfriend, all shows we love and adore. And we're so honored to be on the platform. What does that mean for you guys?
It means that
you will start hearing some ads, you know? And I know we don't all love ads, but I will say, like, you know, ads really help us keep the show going.
Yeah.
Help to make sure it's sustainable and lives beyond sort of just like this fun hobby we started out.
Yeah.
And so thank you guys so much for your flexibility and your patience. Be sure to hit us up if there's anything that just really doesn't work for you so we can get that feedback. But it's overall a really, really exciting thing.
Yes.
In terms of your listening experience, it should go unchanged. Let us know if it does. But, you know, the episode will push to iTunes, to SoundCloud, all of the usual places where you consume it, or your own podcatcher. You shouldn't have to do anything different. But
awesome.
You can also now listen on Acast players. And Acast is pretty cool. Have you listened to anything on?
I have not.
You haven't? It's really, really neat. So they have really innovative technology, and this is why they're getting a lot of press and buzz in the media. They have technology basically where you can we can insert like pictures when we're talking about something, or like
cool.
a link to an article right in the episode, and you guys can click right in the player.
Yeah, tweets.
Exactly.
Nice.
So it's really cool. Check them out. We're really, really excited, and thank you guys for all of your support to get us here.
Awesome.
Really great month for us.
Yes.
Also, as you know,
Anniversary.
We are going to be celebrating our 1 year anniversary with an event March 5th. We're almost sold out.
Yes, right here in the city, right in New York City.
ASAP, jobbox.com/improv brunch.
And what is an improv brunch?
So we're going to have a facilitated improv session, a facilitated workshop by two professional comedians. They're incredible. As a matter of fact, we're going to have them tell you guys a little bit about improv and what they do.
Cool.
Here's the clip.
I think when a lot of people think of improv, they think Whose Line Is It Anyway, or Saturday Night Live, or they think about Amy Poehler and Tina Fey, or any number of these wonderful, brilliant people who have come out of improv comedy and developed themselves as fantastic comedians. And that is certainly a huge part of why improv is valuable in our wonderful world. But there is a whole other side to it, which is a side that really excites me, and that's the whole act of creating something in the moment with other people. So on March 5th, Powersuit Improv, which is a company focused on how improv can improve your communication skills at work, is going to be teaming up with Joblogs to host Improv Brunch, which is going to be basically brunch, which who doesn't love that, paired with a bunch of incredible improv exercises and games, all focused around building creativity, collaboration, and confidence in how we communicate at work. So we hope you can make it. We hope you can have a good time with us, drink some mimosas, and have some lols. Please cut out the part where I say have some lols.
Awesome. So now tickets will definitely sell out. So go to, where do we go for tickets, Joy?
Jawblogs.com/improvbrunch.
See there.
Get yours ASAP.
And what else? Oh, and if you're not in the city, or if you're in the city, whatever, subscribe to jawblogs.com/weekly.
Yes.
For our great weekly newsletter. Mm-hmm. Links for you to like talk about the water cooler, mm-hmm. some professional development stuff.
Yeah, brackos for your commute, because mm-hmm. we know those commutes be long. Yes. So check us out there. All right, so now it's time to clock in. This is the segment of the show where we check in on each other professionally, hold each other accountable, but also just like hear about any challenges we're dealing with, yeah. what's going on at work. So yes. What's new with you, Courtney?
Well, since money is the motive this week, I want to talk a little bit. I'm getting really serious about how I present myself when I'm doing freelance work. Mm. I've had a significant uptick in like, I just want to pick your brain conversations and help me out with this.
Yeah.
So I really just wanted to like, you know, buckle down on that freelancer aspect of my life. And luckily, I didn't even realize how many entrepreneurs and freelancers are in my circle. Like when I started thinking about like, oh, what's the scope of work and all these other things. And so many people had resources. I have to shout to my roommate, Jen. She's on Twitter at JAkelame. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah.
But it's great when your roommate is a career coach and brand strategist.
Oh, is she? I didn't know. Okay.
Yeah, so good, she just gave me like this template for creating a scope of work.
Mm.
And it's a really great exercise, even if your client doesn't require an extensive one.
Mm-hmm.
It's great to like you go through and you figure out the deliverables.
Well, what is a scope of work? Because I know we like use them at work with vendors and stuff like that. But like in the context of freelancing, what exactly is that?
Well, scope of work is exactly what it sounds like it is. It says how much work is involved to accomplish the goals that you brought me on to accomplish.
And why is it important to have one?
It's important because you want to get everyone on the same page before any money's exchanged, work starts. You want the client to know this is what you've hired me for and this is what I'm going
to
deliver.
Right. So basically to like manage everybody's expectations.
Yeah, yeah.
It's definitely so funny. Jonathan Jackson, shout out to Jonathan, who is the editor at LinkedIn and also works at Blavity. He says this really cool thing. Don't let people pick your pockets and disguise it by picking your brain. You absolutely cannot aimlessly dig around through my intellect. I love that.
Good one, Jonathan.
I feel like that's like essentially what this
definitely.
Is.
Definitely. And it was a great exercise for me because I didn't give this much detail to the client, but I went through every action that I needed to do to accomplish what they wanted.
Mm.
And then I assigned hours to each.
Nice.
And then multiplied it by my rate to say, okay, this is an estimate of what this is going to cost.
Right.
So it allows me not to over-service them.
Yeah.
And also not under-quote them. So they're like shocked that it's taking this much.
I love that. I love that.
Yeah. So that was great. Another tip from Jen it scared me to like think of a rate. Like I just didn't know like what goes into it. Like what are other people doing?
Yeah.
And she gave me a great tip is just take your annual salary or your desired annual salary and divide it by 2080. That'll break it down to an hourly rate of like your job is paying you.
Okay.
Then you add on a 30% for those taxes because the government is coming.
That's true.
As we're in tax season, so you guys know.
Yeah, that's true.
So, yeah, that's a great way to come up with an hourly rate.
Awesome.
Yourself.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. Good luck with the project. Let us know how it goes.
On my business.
Yes. Legit.
What about you, Joy?
I mean, you know, kind of coasting through the month. Super stoked for the event. I can't wait to see everybody there. I've been thinking a little bit about, like, my corporate exit strategy, which some of y'all will be like, Joy, didn't you just get a promotion? Well, not for any time soon.
Okay.
So if you listen, my boss and my employee listen to this, I'm not leaving. But I am giving it some thought because just in terms of, like, some of the discussions we've had around building the type of life you want, I don't think I'm going to be working corporate forever. And I think it's perfectly okay in our generation these days to be realistic and honest about that. I'm very open with my coworkers and everything about the podcast and lots of like fun panels and things I'm doing. And so, you know, I'm moderating like a panel at something called Podcast Movement this summer, which is very new for me. So all of these activities that are being introduced into my life that I never really imagined for my life are also opening up my mind to the possibilities of what my career could look like in the next 10, 15 years. So just starting to think about, you know, where do I want to go next in terms of my role? How long do I want to work in corporate? What city do I want to live in? I've always said I want to like work internationally at some point, and mama's not getting any younger. So like building that in and just thinking about like what that would look like over like the next 10 years or so. So that's all it is. Exactly. Just sort of dreaming, not putting anything solid behind it just yet, but just thinking about it.
I like it.
And then also, like, in that vein of thought, I was talking to a friend about, like, these, like, status purchases that some people have at a certain age. I feel like we're in New York City. For, like, so, like, a house would be, like, a status purchase, right? Like, you hit a certain age. So we're in New York City where I feel like we're so exempt from a lot of some of the status purchases our peers are making, like, cars or houses or, like, things like that. But there are also smaller ones. Like, do you own a food processor? I mean, these are, you know what I'm saying? Like, we, you know, when do we get like
food
that type of thing in the kitchen? And I feel like living in New York City, you just don't have these things.
Oh, I also do think New Yorkers stunt on like when they leave the city, like where they're going.
Where they're going?
Their travel, like
the
travel pick. Like, oh my gosh, is it snowing?
So I mean, I've been thinking about that lately. I don't know what my feelings are. I don't know if I feel bad about it or not. But, like, I don't have a car. I don't own a house.
I mean, you deserve a little treat for yourself every once and again.
So that's a status. So like a really nice like tote bag, right? Like spending more than like $300 on a bag. That's kind of like a at a certain age, maybe a certain promotion or something. That's like a nice status purchase. Yes. Nice little brand name. Expensive pair of shoes. So, you know, maybe we'll get into some of that.
Yeah, treat yourself.
Treat myself.
All right. All right, up next we have Rants, Raves, and Reviews. This is a segment of the show where we each share a rant, a rave, or a review for a product, a service, an experience, something that's making our lives better or worse. So, Joy, ranting, raving, reviewing.
I'm raving.
Okay.
I'm raving about an episode of Black-ish that aired a couple weeks ago.
Which, low-key, Black-ish is great.
Black-ish is phenomenal. Like, it's I could rave about the show itself forever. And for those of you that aren't familiar, it's a ABC show. It's about an African-American family, mom, dad, three kids. It's the cutest thing ever. The cast is phenomenal. It has Tracee Ellis Ross and
Anthony Anderson.
Yes. Yep. And the kids are great actors and actresses, too.
So cute.
So amazing. Yeah. Oh, matter of fact, did I miss one? Four kids.
Oh,
I always forget Junior.
Which is like
poor thing.
Perfect for the show.
That's his character. Yes. He's like very forgettable. It's four kids. But, you know, I really love the show itself because it seems to touch on a lot of very relevant contemporary issues that are happening like real time.
Yeah.
And the episode that I'm raving about in particular is season 2, episode 13. It was called Keeping Up with the Johnsons. And they tackled like some really deep money issues that many families deal with, specifically in the context of like African American families. But you know, they kept it so real. Basically, Anthony Anderson's character has like come into money. He's doing very well. He's an ad exec. His wife is a doctor. And so they have money in the family. But there was this point, I'm not going to spoil it for y'all, but they pretty much figured out like they were just blowing a lot of it.
Yeah.
Didn't have investments and things like that. And so they go on this like money diet to cut back and see if they can cut their spending. And there were just so many themes in that episode that were just so real and so incredible to see on a televised platform. And so I loved it because it really made me think about the dynamics of money in my family. My parents are pretty well-to-do, but, like, so, you know, I never learned about, like, investments and stuff like that because they didn't either. So it just touched on a lot of things that were great. I don't want to spoil it for you guys, but definitely check it out. Really good episode. One of my favorites from the show.
Cool.
What are you doing?
I'm raving. This is my homie from way back. Mint. I love you.
Mint.
So much. Mint is a website. It's an app, a money management tool. And I started using it really heavily when I had a gig that was very European about their payment and wanted to give me a monthly check. I didn't know that that's like the European way.
That's how my daddy gets paid. Yeah, once a month.
You need to count every penny. Like, you need to know, like, where you are and the month, what's coming. Like, you need to know.
Okay.
So Mint helped me do that. They have this great, the thing that I use it most for, they have a budget tool. So you set your monthly allowance for several different categories.
Okay.
So I'll set up, like, rent, utilities, entertainment, food, whatever.
Okay. And how does it track that?
You have to go, this is the key, major key here, major people. Key. You have to go back throughout the month and make sure, because it syncs with your credit card or your debit card, all
your accounts. Oh, nice.
It syncs, so the transactions will come up in Mint.
Okay.
Make sure you go back and put it in the correct category.
Oh, okay.
It does it automatically with the algorithm, but sometimes it messes up a little bit. So go back and check, and then it has this fabulous little bar graph where it, like, creeps over as you spend. It
shows you where you're wilding out.
Yes. I live by the Mint. I die by the Mint.
I love that.
I love it so much. And it's really helpful when you need to, like, tweak something. Like, right now I'm trying to find an apartment in New York. You pray for me out there. And so I wanted to, like, put it more away for, I'm saving it for a security deposit.
Yes.
So I scaled down on my entertainment, went up on my savings. So fabulous.
How many categories do you have? Like, how specific do you get with yourself?
I have a good 7, 8, maybe 10.
Okay. Do you find that you really stick to them?
I really do stick to them. I think it's also because, like, my mother worked in banking. So I used to see her all the time balancing her checkbook. Oh. Like, that little desktop calculator was whirling.
Yes.
Okay, every weekend she got her books balanced. And now I'm the same way.
That's awesome. Yeah. I love that level of discipline. I will admit I am not that way. Like, I get my paycheck and I have, obviously, my recurring bills. So I auto-pay those. They just come right out whenever they're due. But, you know, if I want to spend $50 on food 1 week, $200 on food because I went out a lot another week, which, don't judge me, is very, very, like, plausible in New York City. If you are not managing it. I find that I tend to end up looking back, like, where did my money go versus feeling
I can't, like, keep it in my head, like, oh, this feels like I'm spending. No, I need to know numbers and graphic illustrations.
All right, girl, maybe I'll try it.
Try it. Guys, next we're going to have a bit of a round table about these money issues. And we thought it would be a good combo to have our friend Brandon Williams sit in on. Hi, Brandon.
Hey, Brandon.
Hey, how you guys doing today? Thanks for having me.
Yes, we're so excited to have you.
Yes. So Brandon is a Chicago native. Howard alum.
Nice.
And his passion for finance, he left his career in advertising to work on Wall Street, managing high net worth accounts as a stockbroker.
Look at you.
And then his passion for people led him to leave Wall Street. And now he works in education technology here in the city. He continues to share his insights learned from Wall Street stockbrokers in a radical new venture. We'll talk about that a little bit later.
Very cool.
But I wanted to start this conversation because I know we're in tax season. Mm-hmm. So we're all, like, money is
ready
constant.
For that refund check.
Yes.
Let me tell y'all something.
Oh my God.
I'm thinking about all the things I'm going to do.
But I read this article recently. It was on Deadspin called "I'm Not Broke Anymore and I'm Terrified." Mm. And it had this great quote in there. It says, "Money is not just math, it's also psychological." So I thought it'd be a good place to start a conversation is, like, once you start having a bit of a salary, like, how do you let go of this fear that's associated money when you're broke and, okay?
Girl, fear.
And you're really, and really start, like, thinking about, like, how do I make my money work for me? And the flip side is, like, if you're still broke, the struggle is real. How do you still face that fear to kind of address those issues?
It's so funny that you asked that, because I was thinking the very same thing. I think from a little bit of a different perspective, not so much fear, although that is something I have seen in, like, friends I've had that grew up maybe with not as much that are coming into money. They're really great with their money. But then also on the other side, maybe if you have had it, and you, but you're coming into more, I mean, let's talk about myself. Like, I just started making a salary in the last 2 years, and I haven't really known how to manage that. And I'm just coming into, like, realizing, like, my peers have 401ks and things like that. So, like, when you're coming into money for the first time, or more money, or whatever the case is, how do you, like, how do you manage it?
Where do you begin?
Yeah, where do you even begin?
It kind of starts with knowledge is power, to kind of get rid of that fear. Fear is really tied into not knowing much about a particular situation. So, especially when it comes to investing, the number one thing is first to kind of educate yourself and figure out what it is that you're looking for and what it is you're trying to accomplish. So if you're just coming into money, the first thing I would do is try to figure out, look towards the future. Like, how do you want to live during retirement? In other words, like, how much do you want to pay yourself? Do you want to live off a salary of $30,000 a year when you retire? You want to live off a salary of $50,000 a year?
Yeah.
If you do a little bit of math, just having a salary of $30,000 a year means that you would need to have at least about $1.5 million in the bank by the time you retire.
Oh, really?
Now, yeah. So,
I clearly have not done the math.
Right, exactly. So, you know, a lot of people think, okay, if I just save, you know, maybe $10, $20 a month, or if I just save $100 a month, I'll get
good.
There.
Yeah.
You're not going to get there. Yeah, and like, a good way to tell that is just ask your parents how they're doing. More than likely, you know, they're not exactly where they thought they would be.
Yeah.
And part of that is because they didn't have the education in place, and then they didn't really kind of do the math and say, hey, okay, well, if I need $1.5 million in order to have $30,000, you know, a year.
Yeah, this is how long it's going to take me to get there, too.
Right,
like,
exactly.
It's the other piece. But I think retirement is one very big piece of the puzzle. But for a lot of us, it's like, again, like, I'm kind of living in the now and the present. And maybe I've only known how to live in the now and the present with my money for the last 5-10 years. How do you even shift into the mindset of thinking that far into the future? And also, like, how does it impact, like, the next 2 years, the next 5 years, the next 10 years?
Right. So, again, it does start with at least knowing what you want for the future in order to kind of even prepare for it. So whether you have $10 or, you know, $100 to put away each month, the first thing to decide is, okay, well, hey, one, does my job offer like a 401k, for example?
Yeah.
If they don't, then maybe I need to open up an IRA, which is like an individual retirement account. So first I would kind of explore your options to see what you can get through your employer, especially if they do like matching or something like that.
Yeah, and what's matching those who don't know or aren't familiar?
Yeah, so it's very rare that companies do it these days, especially after like the stock market crash of 2007, 2008. But basically, a lot of companies will match you dollar per dollar up to a certain amount. So
match what you contribute into those accounts.
Exactly.
Oh, nice.
So if you contribute, you know, 3% of your monthly salary to it, then they'll contribute, you know, 3% as well up to a certain amount.
So you're getting 6%.
Exactly. So it's like free money.
So everyone should do it. Basically, like, if they have
available,
that option.
Yeah.
If it's available and if they're matching, yes. If they're not matching, there's better alternatives out there.
Oh, okay.
So kind of, again, about the whole fear thing, the way that the financial industry is kind of set up, and they thrive on that fear. Like, they want you to believe that you can't do it on your own.
Yeah.
Hence the need for stockbrokers, hence the need for all of these different, you know, advisors, all these other programs that are coming out. And they try to make it seem that it's something that you're not able to do on your own. Pretty much all you want to do is invest in things that you use. You know, go to places that you shop. If you like Target, you know, invest in Target. If you buy lots of Jordans, buy some shares of Nike. You know, if you're into fitness a lot, you know, look into maybe Fitbit or some wearable tech something of that sort.
Yeah, that's real. Because I know the best, the most success I've had on the stock market when I've dabbled is Chipotle. Because when I was in college, Chipotle was my jam. And I heard they were coming out with an IPO with stocks. I was like, Mom, I think you should buy some Chipotle stock when it comes out.
Yeah.
And it started to go through the roof because then everyone else discovered this was before the recent tragedies at Chipotle.
Nobody is messing with Chipotle.
Growing super fast. And everyone was like, oh, Chipotle's great too, girl. So yeah, it really is a real world reflection, the stock market. It reflects what's...
Okay, cool. I'm already a little stressed out by this conversation, though, because it's like, let's take a step back. It's like, so I think what you said about fear of what you don't know and don't understand, that's so real. And I am working a corporate job, you know, at a public company. I have a 401k because I knew it was a thing I should do, and they do match. But like beyond that, I've never invested in the stock market, and I don't know. And I have tried to read some things. Like I have pretty educated friends who are doing this just like y'all. And I've tried to read some things, and it's so overwhelming. I just don't get it, and I don't know where to start. So like, what do you say to people who know that? And then I think also another misconception that might go along with that is like, it doesn't matter. You don't need to have a lot of money to get started managing your money, right?
Right.
So what do you say to people who are trying to manage whatever they have, whether it's a lot or a little bit, and just don't know where to start? They might know they do want to start, but they don't know where to start.
So start with creating a budget. I would use a program similar to Mint. I do use Mint as well to kind of at least figure out, okay, these are things that I can cut as far as, you know, rent, utilities, things of that sort. So you're going to want to make sure that you write that out. Write out exactly how much you want to spend for entertainment or other things, and then see what little wiggle room you have. And then try to work backwards from that. Like, okay, well, maybe instead of, you know, having that Starbucks coffee 5 times a week,
right,
I do it 4 times a week. You know, if you're one of those people who goes out on the weekend a lot, you know, out to bars. I mean, one of the reasons I don't like going to bars or clubs is because I have to pay $12 for one drink, and it's already watered down. And I can go to the liquor store and get a fifth for $25, $30. All right, so it's like, to me, it's more, it's
those little, like, shifts, and, like, you can still have that whatever lifestyle it is you want, but
and you can switch it off with your friends, like, okay, this week, you know, it's at my house, I'll buy the bottle, and you guys come over, you know, so it can alternate like that, so that's a way to save some money and still be social, as far as eating out as well. I know, like, in my Facebook feed, I've got those videos of, like, you know, chefs cooking and stuff like that. Like, try to make some of that stuff.
BuzzFeed food.
Now, it might not come out as good as, you know, theirs, but at least
fails.
Try it. You know, so I
hear you.
That saves you some money.
I have started meal prepping and making my meals a lot.
Oh, you have to?
It's so, it's great because even if it's like coming out to around the same money as like a certain week, the quality is better. And also, like, I know exactly where I can come in every week with groceries, and I love watching my bank account not move all week because I didn't go out to eat or order Seamless. So that's incredible.
Yeah. So I want to go back a little bit to that 401k conversation, because I know I get the paper and it's just like, whew, lots of boxes. So how do I handle this, whether it's if I want to be more hands off with it or like hands on? Like, what are some different approaches to setting up my 401k
for retirement?
So the first thing about 401ks is it's not, you don't have a lot of options, which is honestly the reason why I don't like them as much as like IRAs or other types of retirement accounts, mainly because basically when you get a 401k, you're really just deciding which fund you want to invest in. So there's really two types. You're going to have like your target date funds, as they're called, which is pretty much like a 2050 fund. In other words, I'm looking to retire in the year of 2050. So everything inside of this mutual fund is kind of geared toward, you know, me retiring at that stage.
So it's like more riskier now, and then it gets more conservative with how
over time.
What does risky and conservative mean? You mean like in terms of the
In terms of the investments, so your more your risky investments would be for like right now to invest in Shake Shack, for example. I mean, I love Shake Shack, but you know, it's not a stable company quite yet, so it's gonna be a lot more risky than something stable like Johnson & Johnson.
Oh, got it.
Where people
got
always need Band-Aids.
Got it.
Or even bonds. You know, government bonds, things of those sorts, those are really stable investments.
Yeah. So when you put your money in a 401k, you're basically saying, hey, you guys over here, take care of my money, trade it, do it. Grow it until I'm ready to take advantage of it.
In relationship with that specific goal that you have in mind.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But the thing about 401ks, again, like you have those target funds. So if you're filling out that 401k form, if you want, you can check that 2050 box or 2055 box or whatever the case may be. Or you can go the other route and choose like an index fund. Basically what an index is just like a group of stocks that track a particular part of the market. So I would usually suggest going with an index fund if you can with your 401k, because they have less fees and they actually outperform some of those target date funds. So if you have the option, get it matched and choose index.
Now I wish like employers gave a one sheeter on this, you know what I mean?
It's I had like a session where someone came in and talked about it, and it was just, I don't know,
it's like over your head.
Is.
It's like they give you all of these options, that plus benefits, which I can't even get into right now. I mean, blessing to have them, but it's like, how do you even make these decisions? It's ridiculous. So I mean, I want to talk about, so you talked about like, regardless of whatever it is you're making, kind of working backwards and figuring out where you have wiggle room. I've been doing some reading, and I saw this somewhere else. I can't remember where. So if you're listening and I'm getting this from you, let me know. But I saw somewhere that, like, millennials are disproportionately living paycheck to paycheck, even in the six-figure range, even making, like, over 100K a year. There's a disproportionate number of millennials that end up living paycheck to paycheck. And I think that's, like, to your point, that's, like, the result of not managing. Like, if you don't know how to manage a little bit of money, you're not going to know how to manage a lot of money.
Exactly. That all comes back down to your principles. Honestly, like, you should, if you're making $100,000 a year, you should be able to live within your means. You really don't have an excuse not to, even with student loans. And talking to somebody who pays more than their in student loans.
Don't we all?
But, I mean, pretty much, if you think about the average income for, salary income for one person is $36,000.
Where?
The United States.
Oh.
That's the average income. So we're talking about people with master's degrees all the way down to them working at McDonald's or whatever the case may be. The average is $36,000. So if people can survive on that little, you have to have some type of way, you know, of, you have to have some perspective.
Yeah.
But again, the only way that you can kind of gain that perspective is to think long term and say, hey, well, if I want to keep living like this, you know,
that's
after
true.
I'm 60 or so, then I need to have so much set aside.
Right. Like, you got to think beyond that seamless word.
Yeah, because like one of my biggest fears, I know, like one of my biggest fears is waking up. I already don't like to go to work now. My normal 9 to 5, you know. I mean, I do love my job, my company.
Hey,
I love
really
my job.
Like
I love my
job.
Company.
We all say that.
But,
that's
I mean,
not
nobody,
true.
Nobody really wants to work.
Job, which is
yeah.
Crazy, but
I mean, nobody legit like wants to work if they don't have to. So one of my biggest fears is, you know, waking up when I'm 60, 65, knowing that I'm physically can't do it anymore, but knowing that I have to do it. So you know,
that's cool.
If you kind of keep that in perspective, it kind of motivates you to say, okay, well, if I'm making 100 grand, like, yes, I could probably drive a Range Rover.
Yeah.
But why don't you just settle for, you know, maybe just
so that you have those options and flexibility. And that's a good point, not just even for the long term, but again, thinking immediately, like, I have thrown out that, you know, one day I'd love to buy an apartment. But, you know, the rate I'm going, I really need to focus on my debt and minimizing my credit and things like that. Because what happens is that you won't have the option because you won't get approved. So it's those times when you're like, or you have an emergency or you want to get a car for whatever reason because you're moving and you literally cannot because you didn't manage your money in a way that gives you the option to.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, let's do a quick coffee break.
So I need to know something. What's the line of harassment for getting my W-2? Because I did the preliminary, like, it's, you know, past gigs.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, here's my new address.
Yes.
You know, just checking in for W-2s come out. It was great. The deadline came. It's January 15th. No, you're right. And there is nothing. And now we are late February.
Yeah. No. I don't think there's a line. Girl, okay. That's your money. Listen. Call, write, show up in person.
Okay,
yeah, nah.
This is,
that's toying with your money. Mm-mm. We don't play around with coins.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, so we're having a great conversation. Mm-hmm. And I think the big takeaway for me is, like, you have to have a strategic approach to your money. Like, yeah. A lot of times you just kind of let it happen to you and you're reacting to it. And you really have to kind of stop, take stock of, like, what's happening and look for those opportunities, whether it's spending less in one place or maybe it's, like, if you have a lot of debt, maybe it's, like, maybe I need to go to a debt consolidation. Mm-hmm. Like, thinking about how can we make this better.
yeah, for sure.
So exactly. Where do we go to learn more about investing in the stock market? Like, do you have any resources?
Yeah, there are a few resources that you can check out. One, Invest Radical. That's my website. So you can go to investradical.com. We're actually going to be starting a newsletter the beginning of next month.
Let's back up. So tell us about Invest Radical.
That's awesome.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So basically right now, again, we're in the beginning stages. But as of right now, we're just like an online resource for investors, both new and old. Mm-hmm. So we share some stock tips that I've learned on Wall Street. You also get market updates and different strategies.
Nice.
We also partner with other industry professionals, gain some of their knowledge and resources as well, and kind of share that with people.
Very cool. I love that.
Yeah, our main goal really is to bring a lot of those techniques that I found on Wall Street to the everyday Joe, because a lot of people don't know. Like, for example, you can make money when the stock market goes down. I'm pretty sure about 95% of investors don't know that. So, you know, on Wall Street or in the financial industry, we don't care if it goes up or down. We just need to know which direction. So we can make money going both ways. So.
Yeah. No, I mean, that is really helpful and I think a necessary resource.
Yeah, so that's pretty much what Radical is right now. Cool. But we will be doing workshops soon.
Oh, great.
So, yeah, you can follow us.
In the New York City area or?
We'll start off in the New York City area, then heading down to D.C., and then we'll see where it goes from there.
Awesome. I love that.
Nice. So you said at Invest Radical?
Yes. And Radical is spelled, though, R-A-D-I-C-L-E. So what that is like the first root from a seed.
Come on.
And we're all about, you know, pulling resources from different areas to kind of grow like one strong tree. It's all about making a...
Nice. So at Invest Radical on Instagram...
And Twitter. And you can follow us on the web.
Cool.
Nice. Yeah. InvestRadical.com, you said, for the subscribing to the newsletter.
Yes, ma'am.
Cool.
Yep. Some other sites that you can check out. I have another friend who's a Howard alum. He has an excellent website. It's called Black Market Exchange. It's thebmx.com. Mm. So the letter B. MEX.com.
Very
he has a lot of great videos and articles about, you know, investing in different strategies. So I'll check them out a lot too. And then one of my go-to favorites is always Investopedia. Yeah, they have lots of videos. They explain everything kind of
as far as investing and kind of building
And
growing
just getting started.
For the long term goes. I love that. We'll put all of those in our episode links on the website.
Yeah.
And what I really like too about all of these resources, with the exception of Investopedia, it's just like, you know, it speaks to people of color, too. And I think a lot of marginalized populations, like, economic empowerment is so important because that's like the legacy that you leave behind beyond your lifetime.
Now, we spend more money than any other race.
Right.
But we're the brokest.
Right. So. Right. So, well, that's a result of a lot. All right. For another day. But thank you so much. It's incredible resources.
And thanks for having me.
All right. right, it is time for Ask Joblogs, the segment of the show where we address your career and life questions. You can submit your questions to us at any time at joblogs.com/askjoblogs. And I think we have one today. What are we working with, Courtney?
It's a question from Anonymous. It says, one of my goals this year is to network more, especially with fellow writers. I'm shy and awkward, so it's difficult for me to make conversation in person and online. I also worry about appearing too thirsty when attempting to make connections. Any suggestions for reaching out to people?
I love the thirsty piece. That's so real. Right. So I've read something, I think on the Harvard Business Review, that talked about this concept of inbound networking. And essentially, it was a fancy term for saying, like, and I'd heard this, like, from someone else, too, but it was a term for saying, you know, there is networking where you do outreach and connect and reach out to other people. But then there's also things that you can do to bring people to you. And so I think for all of us here, like, we have, you know, I have Joblogs, you have RedWork, you have Investor Article, and we all have these different things that we do that we publish regularly that pretty much speak for us in spaces that we don't have to proactively go out and speak into. And a writer that I really like, which this listener might be familiar with, Anne Friedman, she said this on the Long Form podcast too, which is a podcast about writing. She said she talked about how, you know, she used to be an editor, and then she started this weekly newsletter, basically curating all of the awesome journalism and stories that she had read from that week. And she has, like, now, like, 26,000 subscribers. And essentially, she doesn't have to pitch anymore because that newsletter brings people to her and demonstrates, like, her work. You know, we've talked a bit about some other networking strategies in past episodes, but I think for you, like, as a writer, you have a product that you can put out there into different spaces through social media. So consider, I don't know, connecting with other writers that way.
Yeah. And I would say the key to not being thirsty is to be genuine. So especially since you're a writer, like, read people's work and then, like, compliment them or tell them what you took away from this. If you have, like, something that adds on to what they're talking about, you know, share that with them. So I think a lot about a relationship is about adding value. So if you, you know, contribute something, I think people will recognize that.
Yeah, for sure.
Any ideas for making friends?
I agree with you as far as just stay general. I'm sorry, stay
genuine.
Yeah, and then just play to your strengths. I mean, if writing is your strength, that is going to be what people are attracted to. So I would write and put it out there as many ways as I can. And I'm a firm believer that, you know, again, you also can't think about what people say. If you come off thirsty,
you may be thirsty.
You just gotta, you know, if you want it, which is more important? Do you want it more or are you afraid of it more?
Yeah. This person says they're shy in person and online, which is quite a conundrum. I usually find, like, online spaces to be more comforting than in person.
I mean, the thing, I guess, because you can think about it, like, until they respond. You're like, so do I sound like this? Or do I feel like this? But, I mean, like, to Brandon's point, it's like you have to kind of be, at some point you have to say it is what it is. Like,
yeah, I know.
Just do it.
I know. Well, good luck. Keep us posted. And thanks for writing in.
All right. It's our favorite time of the show. This segment of the show, Hired and Fired, where we give a positive wink to folks in pop culture who are killing it out there and serve up a few termination papers to folks who aren't. You can see the whole team at joblogs.com/payroll.
Yes.
So Joy is our hiring manager for this week. And what are you doing?
I'm firing, actually.
You always
I know, and you always hire. I feel terrible, but
good
not
cup,
really.
Bad cup.
So, you know, we've been talking about social media and social influence and, like, how people are using it for good. And, you know, it's really kind of motivating to see, like, the Black Matters activist DeRay now running for mayor of Baltimore. I'm not going to say, like, relying on that social influence, but definitely having a big role in that. On the other hand, we have people like Rush V.
Who?
Rush V. Have you not heard of this guy?
I have not.
So it's not his real name, but he basically is a... Have you heard of him?
Mm-mm.
Okay, well... Well, you're here. He basically is a pickup artist, which I had to Google. A womanizer, a professional womanizer.
Okay.
Sleeps around with women. And he has started this whole, like, anti-feminist movement to basically get men together to rally against and build solidarity against feminists and women. And he's used that influence. Like, if you look at his social media accounts, it's all littered with hate speech, all littered with misogyny.
So he's like a troll.
He's beyond a troll. He's like
super troll.
He's like written books. He's like a published author and everything. He has like whole communities with like tens of thousands of men in them. So he's really at the point where like he has a platform and influence. He's just choosing to use it this way. And actually, he basically started coordinating gatherings for men.
I've heard about
yes,
those.
This is the guy. He coordinated gatherings, and people were calling them like pro-rape gatherings, even though that rhetoric didn't come from him. But essentially, I mean, if you're telling men like it's cool to take what you want from a woman and then saying, let's all go to drinks and talk about this, you know, you can infer what you will. So, I mean, I'm not going to give him more shine. What I will say, though, is like, sir, if you need a cause, I have several that you could lend your energies to. There are 12 million people displaced as a result of the Syrian crisis. There are the Flint water crisis. People don't have clean water. I mean, Zika virus. Like, pick one, anyone. But this ain't it. This is nobody's ministry.
What is he trying to accomplish?
I couldn't tell you. I really couldn't. And that's what I'm saying. It's just like it's goalless. And honestly, like it has me thinking about, to a lesser degree, a lot of our social presence. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times things will happen in the media and we all are just rah, rah, rah. And we're on there and we're talking about things. And like sometimes just do a quick check. Like, what are you trying to accomplish? Are you just spouting out the mouth about nothing with no cause? Like, you know, your words have power. They do. And so in this Donald Trump, Roosh V era, I caution you all to
use your power for good.
So, sir, you are fired.
Bye.
Escort him out the building. Goodbye.
Okay, great episode. I think we've confronted some fears with the money.
It is a start. It is definitely an ongoing conversation.
Yes. Yeah, I think we need to touch on this a little bit more every now and then. It's rough.
Adulting. I know.
Hashtag adulting.
I know. A couple weeks ago, I told y'all about that student debt segment I did.
Oh, yeah.
For another podcast. And I don't know if they're using it or not, but basically, they asked me, like, what's your credit card debt? What's your loans? What's all of this?
Man.
It was a really daunting exercise just to look at the whole picture. So I'm definitely taking notes from this and working and prioritizing lowering my debt this year.
Yeah, that's a great goal. All right. So if you can't get enough of Joblogs, we're on all your social media channels at Joblogs, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook,
yes. Connect with us. We keep the dialogue going Tuesday through Sunday.
Yeah, lots of great content coming up on the blog, so make sure you check it out.
Yep, you can also hear all of the episode links from this and other episodes on the website. Don't forget to rate and review us. We're on iTunes. You can search the iOS podcast app for Joblogs, and then you can hit review there, the tab there, and leave us a rating and a review. 5 stars preferably. Mm-hmm. Or you can search on iTunes on your desktop. Many thanks, as always, to our guest, Brandon. This was a really fantastic conversation. Thank you for having me again.
I really had fun.
Yes. And also thanks to our producer, Adrian Wagner.
Adrian, still up for Boodum.
I know.
In case you guys forgot.
I know. If you guys missed that, we are taking applications. So slide in the DMs.
And our studio, Visionary Media.
Yes. Thank you, as always. Listen, you guys, this week, get yourself a Mint account, spreadsheet, whatever, checkbook, balance it out, figure out what you're dealing with in terms of your finances, and keep us posted.
See you next week.
Bye.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.